planned on coming to get preached to. You know, being on the road, you want to be preached to. And you still need the Word of God as a preacher.
Right.
I don't care what other people think. I hear it on the road all the time, Stephen. These guys don't even need to get a hold of God to get their message.
How about that?
They didn't have to ask God, you know, should we preach this message? They just take it upon themselves and say, well, a preacher told me to preach this message, so we didn't even have to ask God. Could you imagine being with that kind of attitude? But this is what you run into out there on the streets, my friends. You really don't know what you have here at this church.
Right.
It's not everywhere. It's not out there on them roads. I'm telling you now, it's not in them churches. And I'll tell you what, getting in the trenches, that's what it takes to be out there on the road today. It's not all fun and games. We don't get in that van or our car and just drive over churches and have a blast. But you know, it's a spiritual battle out there. There are hard things that a man has to take out there when he's got his family. And we had a friend with us, Miss Katie Montgomery. But I'm going to tell you this right now, the devil fought me on that. It's terrible. And then you got the biggest hypocrite in the world standing behind a pulpit tonight. That's how I feel. I said, why did God ask me to preach tonight? Why did God put it on Pastor's heart for me to preach tonight? I feel like a hypocrite. But God gave me a message. And I'm going to preach it. You know why? In season, out of season. Stephen, no matter what's going on, preach. No matter what's going on or falling off around you, no matter what's happening, God says you have the ability to preach. I've given that to you. Then you stand up, then you preach. And that's what we're going to do. And so obviously we're home from Texas. It was a good trip. It was fruitful in the sense of this, that we got some open doors, some meetings for some people that we'd be able to go. And you go, well, why do you go to those places if it's like that? Because just maybe we can help somebody with our preaching.
That's right.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I go there because just maybe God will give me something and somebody in that church will hear something and it will prick their heart and they might start thinking something different. Why else does God send preachers out there?
That's right.
It's by the foolishness of preaching. It's not about me just always going out telling about my ministry. You can ask my family. I preach.
No.
I don't hold back because I want those people. Look, I care about those people who are sitting in church pews. I care about their soul. I care about their eternity. It's not just about liberty behind bars, but there's people who are lost and dying and going to hell. And if we can't be out there to be a help, then what good are we? That's been the challenge that God put on my heart in the last year. What good can I be to a church? Because if I can't be any good, Lord, then you just need to go ahead and sit me back in that blue chair and let me coast off into eternity. You don't need me behind a pulpit. Let me just tell you this. God's work can be done without any one of us in this room.
Right.
He doesn't need us. There's not a single one of us in here that God said, well, I need you. Stephen, I got to have you in order for this to work out. Nope. He just gives us, it's an honor to be able to do this for the Lord. But I have a question. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go? Because since I've been called to be a preacher, God has brought me pretty far. He's brought me in some deep things. You young Christians, young preachers, I cry. Because I know what's coming for you. I weep because I know what's coming. It's good. God's letting you enjoy what you're enjoying right now. It's a wonderful thing. But I know what's coming. If God's going to use you, if you're going to be worth anything to God, you will have your life turned upside down. He's going to get in there and he's going to turn that upside down. And then he'll make you into what he wants you to be. Not what we want to be. Every time that I sit under preaching or any time that I get somewhere under the Holy Ghost, guess what? I come out differently.
Amen.
5 hours, brother, I was able to drive from Tennessee, and we just hit over the border and got into Kentucky, and for 5 hours, it was me and the Holy Ghost. He was just there, Lord, I'm Stephen. You know what I said, Lord, I said, take that sword and cut my heart wide open and show me every bit of it. For 5 hours, while my family and little Katie, they were all sleeping, it was just me and God in that van. And we were able to deal with things, and he was showing me things, and he was getting things right in my life.
Love it.
Getting in there and digging those things out. Why? Because that's what has to happen in order for me to be worth anything to him.
That's right.
I can't be who I am and serve his purpose. Okay? There's things in my life that God wants out of my life. And man, when he starts digging, it hurts. It's scary. You know, I remember Pastor John, I was going through some hard times sitting here underneath the preaching. Kyle, where you're at, man, I was under Holy Ghost conviction, man. I mean, I was being tore up. And I said, Pastor, I don't know what's going on. I'm coming to church. I'm reading. Why am I going through this? He said, Dale, your conscience is starting to function again. Face it. I remember you teaching me that, Pastor. I've never seen that. And now I get to go out there and teach men. Why is this hurting when you're sitting underneath the preacher? Because your conscience is starting to function again. Go ahead and let God deal with that. And I've learned how to, you know what I've done? I've learned how to let the Holy Ghost of God deal with me on that. It'll be the biggest victories you start having in your entire life. Even if you're a lost person, let the Holy Ghost of God deal with your heart. You know what we learn how to do, Tim? I'll put that away for later. Judges chapter 5, if you would. Judges chapter 5, please pray for us. In January, I prayed, Lord, I'm not going to go out there and look for meetings. I'm not going to go out there. If you want that to happen, then you go ahead and open the door and you get that going. Oh, man. I just got a call from a church that we visited in Florida 3 years ago.
Wow.
He called me up. He said, look it, I love you, man. He said, we're taking you on for support and I need you to come preach in my church. So we're going to Florida now and West Virginia and Tennessee and North Carolina. I wasn't looking for meetings. I wasn't going to look for this kind of stuff. But I said, God, if you open the doors, we'll go.
Amen.
And our calendar is getting filled up again.
I love it.
And it's not because I'm out looking for it. I'm not. You know, let me just give you a little secret. Stephen, I don't go and preach in churches hoping that I get another meeting out of there. I go in there and preach exactly what God gives me. I don't care. If you never call me back again, then that's fine with me. I did exactly what my God wanted me to do. I don't care what you want me to do. You don't support me. We're not for everybody and everybody's not for us. But how far are you willing to go? Look at Judges chapter 5, verse 2. Look what it says there. And I want you to understand this is a victory that Israel got. Deborah, and here's a woman who led these guys to victory. And look what it says here in verse 2. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. So we see that God stepped in and he avenged Israel. He got in and he won a victory for them. But you know what? There was something that happened in order for God to step in and give them that victory. What's it say here? He says that he stepped in and he avenged Israel when the people willingly offered themselves.
Amen.
God has got to look into your heart and he's got to look into your mind and say, are you willing to allow me to bring you to this place? You need some avenge in your life. You need God to step in, Luke, and avenge you of some people who are messing with you. You know what he says? Then be willing to do it my way. My way is, let's just go flex the muscle at somebody and put their teeth down their throat and shut them up. You know what God did? He wanted to puke all over me with that nonsense. You know what God's way is? Dale, you shut up and you let them do what they have to do. I'll take care of it. Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to go there, Luke? How far are you willing to go? Because let me just say this. Every one of us can raise our hand and at one point in time, we're willing to go as far as God will allow us to, as long as we stay in our comfort zone. Let me just say that again. Christian, you will allow God to bring you and where he wants as long as it stays in your comfort zone.
Uh-oh, come on.
That ain't how God operates. God gets you out of your comfort zone because it's out of there that you learn the best. You ever wonder why you're struggling as a lost person if you're lost in here? Because it's God trying to keep you uncomfortable. It's not going to put you in the comfort zone and want you to get saved. Christian, ever wonder why a lot of trouble seem to come your way? Because God, out of your comfort zone, knows that he has your attention. You start going through some troubles and some trials, guess what? You're more apt to hear the preaching. You're more apt to want to listen to Christian music. You're more apt to want to get a hold of God's ear all of a sudden. Now you want to listen to the preaching a little different. you out of your comfort zone. He knows you'll listen.
Are you willing to go there?
That's what it takes, my friend. I'm not sure what kind of God you serve, but let me tell you about the one in the King James Bible you say you believe. Travel around churches and I look at people and I say, do you really believe that God just saves you and lets you put it in neutral and coast out of here?
Oh, well, you're called to a ministry. He's going to do that kind of stuff. Look, if I was called to a church pew, God would still do that to me.
He's fair to all his children.
He wants his children to be who he wants. It's according to his purpose, not ours. We're bought with the blood. You know, we sing about the blood all the time, right, Tammy? Everybody, oh, how precious and how powerful the blood is. And yeah, I see the most weak, weak, anemic Christians I've ever seen in my entire life. You mean you tell me you got the power of Jesus Christ in your life and you're the most weak, anemic Christian I ever saw? What power are you living under? Maybe just yourself. Go out there and tell people, well, you know, I have the hope of Jesus in me. And I go, my goodness, if you're sharing that hope, then who would want it? So I don't wonder why people are staying lost. What kind of hope are we offering people out there? What are they seeing in us? You know my challenge. Here's my challenge to every one of us. And I haven't had this happen to me yet, brother Bob. Look at Bob, listen. I haven't had this to me yet, but here's what I challenge people. How many of us had somebody come up to us want what we have spiritually?
Uh-oh.
What are they seeing in us?
Come on.
Look, you don't have to go out there and put bumper stickers on and wear shirts. I love Jesus. You know what? You don't have to do all that. You know what? Most people can tell by your actions. Just by the way you speak that there's something different about you. But let me ask you, how far are you willing to go with that? I'm watching Luke struggle. He's not even struggling. I'm struggling with it more than he is. And God just said, Dale, how far are you willing to go? I said, Lord, if this is going to make Luke a better man than me, then I'm willing to go all the way. I want my son to be a better man. And you know what? Here's something that you'll never hear from a lot of people. Right now, there's a situation going on in Luke's life that he's more of a man than I am. Well, just because I can fight makes me a man? How about the one who doesn't fight and keeps his mouth closed? That's a man. That's a man. I'm no man. I'm just a prideful jerk. My son's more of a man in a situation than I am, Pastor. I'm learning something from my own son. And thank God that Jesus Christ stepped into the family and is able to do that for my son. And now I can learn from it. And I can watch what's going on. Well, I mean, but none of you would say that because you're so prideful. You're the parent. Well, good. I'm glad God's working in my son's life. I'm glad I'm able to learn some things from my child. Well, who runs your home? Me. Doesn't mean he runs my home. How far are you willing to go? I know that caught a lot of you off guard, and you know, you're a weakling now, Dale. That's good. Good. You keep thinking of me that way. We see here in Judges that God stepped in and he avenged Israel. Why? Because they willingly offered themselves. What sin in our life? What people have stepped in our life? What situation do we have that's going on in our life? Look, I know we don't live perfect lives, friend. I know there's things that are going on in our life constantly. I know there's battles that are going on. There's people and situations that we're facing. You go, why, God? Why won't you? Because you're not willing to go where God wants to bring you. You ever wonder, Tim, when you're a lost person, why it was easier for you to believe that God says you're lost than it is easier for you to believe that he says that you're saved? Why is that? That blows my mind because that's one of the things that I thought about after I got saved. I said, man, for all those years, it was very easy for me to believe that God told me that I was lost. I've seen that. But I couldn't believe that he told me I could be saved. I wasn't willing to see it. I wasn't willing to allow God to show me that very thing in my life. And then when he put his finger on it, I finally realized it. I said, oh my goodness. How far are you willing to go? How about it, lost person? How far are you willing to go? Let me just say this. God sees your heart. And he knows exactly how far you are. And you think that you have really gave up a lot. You know what Paul says? You have not strived in the bloodshed.
You've not tried quitting sin to the point where you're bleeding. God's looking at your heart and going, you think that's repentance? You think that's seeking me? You think that's being diligent? Let me just tell you this right now, friend. Whether you're a Christian or not, your diligence and God's diligence are totally two different things. When you think you're being diligent, you're not. Trust me, you're not. You know how I know that? Because you think you're being diligent. That's the problem right there. How far are you willing to go? Romans chapter 12. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Oh, I know this verse. Good. Why don't you live it? The problem is not knowing verses, my friends. The problem is how far we allow God to live these verses. Tim, honestly, why would God give you a Bible just to know them? Doesn't he expect us to live what his... It doesn't matter if the message is preached 1,000 times. You hear a verse preached 1,000 times. You mean to tell me you can't get something out of that? Because every time I read this book, every time I read a verse, every time I get into something, I go, my goodness, why didn't I see that the last 100 times? You see, we got a miracle book. We got a book here that's not written by man. It's written by God. And it shows us things. And you know what he shows us things, Steve and I learned? Whatever spiritual mood you're in is what God can show you.
Amen.
That's right. Whatever spiritual mood you're in when you're seeking Jesus Christ, that's what he can show you.
Yes.
Who limits God?
Yeah.
We do. Did not many works. Why? Because of their unbelief. Limited in the whole. How far are you willing to go? How far? You need to be avenged in what? Salvation? You need to be avenged with somebody who's running their mouth. You need to be avenged by maybe a sin in your life or a struggle or something that's going on. A sickness, you need to be avenged. You know how God avenges people? When they willingly offer themselves. That means when you say, God, here it is, no matter what happens. You know why? God's going to try it, because the very moment you say that thing's going to come up and he's going to watch your reaction.
Amen.
He's going to say, see, I told you you weren't ready. Lord, I'm willing. Guess what happened today, Tim? It fell out for me. I prayed, Lord, I am so willing. Whatever's got to happen. And sure enough, I walked in the house today, something was said, and the floor dropped out for me. I said, God, I'm sorry. Again, I failed. Lord, I'm willing to go, Lord, whatever it takes. Whatever's going to happen, I'm willing to go do this thing. And I went to this place, Samantha, and I went yesterday, and I stepped into the house, and one word was said. One word was said, and I lost it. Because that's how willing I am. I say, I'm not afraid to admit my faults. I admit my faults back here because I want to help you so maybe you can avoid it. So maybe you don't have to go through those things. So that maybe when you're telling God all these little pretty things, that you can really stop telling him the nonsense and open up with him and tell him the real deal. I struggle with this, Lord. I can't help but do this. Every time I say that I'm going to stop, it intensifies. Why? Because I'm really not willing. God help us. God help us all. We need help tonight. Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 1. You know where I'm going. Romans 12, 1. I beseech you. That means he's begging you. Therefore, brethren. Romans 12, 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And I want you to see that next set of words. By the mercies of God. How? By the mercies of God. What he's about to say can only be done by the mercies of God. But you know what that's going to take? A willingness.
Amen.
Yes. You are going to have to sacrifice yourself. It's not going to come with ease. Pastor, I got the best life on the planet. God has been so good to me in the last 11 years. But when God puts his hands on things, it can seem like a whole long time. But let me tell you, John Mark, coming out the other side, I never have a complaint coming out the other side, Tim. I'm always more thankful than when I went in. Why? Because God has made me. He's made me one more step to what he wants me to be and less of what I want to be. My goodness, when he holds it in front of your face, Stephen, it's terrible. You go, oh, I thought he did that when you were a saved person. Oh, unsaved. Oh, no.
God puts things in my face and I see him clearly. When I see him, I go, oh my God, I'm sorry. His word is a two-edged sword. You know what I told him the other day praying that 5 hours? I said, Lord, take that sword. And I said, just go ahead and get in that heart. I said, you're the divine physician. Please do surgery on my heart. I need it. Open it up. I said, it's just me and you. My family's sleeping. There's nobody here. I said, Holy Ghost, get in this van with me and let's deal with some things. Let's get to the bottom of this. Man, I'm telling you, it's like he went in there, Brother John, and opened my heart right up and all this stuff just came out. I was like, oh my goodness. Why? Because God looked at my heart, and for that moment, for those few hours, Ronnie, I became willing. I became willing. I beseech you, brother, and you know what it was that kept me? The mercies of God. He says, the mercies of God. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Look, at I'm not taking anything away from anybody, but when a person dies for the ministry, it's over for them. They're sitting in front of Jesus Christ. But he didn't tell us to die for him, Steve, or Timothy. He told you to live for him. That's a whole lot harder than dying. That's why it's called a sacrifice. Because it's not about you anymore. Lord, you're going to be 52 years old. Whatever's left of this, you go ahead and take it. It's yours. Amen. My goodness, be careful praying that. Because you know what it says in the Bible? He marks your lips. He marks your lips. Remember when we prayed next to the edge of the bed, Amy? Right after we got saved. I think Amy just got saved. We were laid next to the bed. I held her hand. I said, Lord, you do whatever you have to do with us. Bring us wherever we have to go. And oh my goodness. Be careful praying that. Unless you're really willing to get out there. Unless you really are willing to get out there and be put out there. And God use you maybe to stir some hearts and stir some people up. Had a guy in church here at... I forgot where it was. I said, man, Lord, you really got me to preach that message, huh? You want me to pray? Sure, Lord. You know, I question God sometimes. God, are you sure this is the message? I want this to be right. I said, all right, Lord, I'll preach that message. And this church that we were in had a first-time visitor in there. And the Holy Ghost of God showed up, and I'm just telling you, the man was stunned. He got up afterwards. He said, I don't even know how to handle that. He now knows that he's lost. He's no longer trying to claim religion. Why? Because I was willing, Pastor. Not because of me. It has nothing to do with me. Do you know why Liberty Behind Bars has any success whatsoever, Stephen? Because I believe that King James Bible and I preach it. There's no success because of Dale Morey. I'm an ex-convict, guys. I'm a drug addict, alcoholic. I can't run nothing. It takes Jesus Christ. He gets the glory for all this. What you see, what you hear, this is because this is what Jesus Christ does to a person. When a person becomes willing, God will use that vessel. It may be messed up, but he doesn't throw it away. He fixes it. Fixes it. And then, you know, what's a vessel of honor? How about that? What a glorious God we serve that'll take Bob. A bunch of Bobs, huh? Bottom of the barrels. You know why? Because he wants to use us. And this is, present your bodies as a living sacrifice and holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He's not asking us to do anything unreasonable. He says, I want you to go ahead and sacrifice your body. That means we become a willing person of a willing mind and a willing heart. We say, Lord, here it is. Take my family. Take my life. It's all yours. And he goes, that's reasonable for what Jesus Christ did for us. I don't know about you, but maybe you need to go back and see where he brought you from. Maybe you want to go back and see where he brought you from and remember what he did for you. Remember the blood shed on the cross of Calvary for you. Remember him getting the crown of thorns on his head for you. Remember the sin that he took on for himself for you. Hey, thank God he was willing to do that for you. And now he's asking you to live for him.
Amen.
Thank God there was no, well, if or maybe. With Jesus Christ. I travel around and say, man, have you forgotten about what Jesus Christ has done for you? How quick we're to walk away from that, Timothy. How quick We get a little honeymoon period. We're real excited about what Jesus Christ done for us. And then a year and a half, 2 years later, it starts falling off. Why? Because we have forgotten about what he's done for us. Let me just tell you this right now. Take some time to get back and go back and thank him for what he's done for you. Hey, before you do your Bible reading, you know what God showed me? Why don't you praise me a little bit before you read? That changed my reading. It's not always perfect. I'm going to tell you right now, you'll fight the devil and you'll fight your flesh trying to praise God before you read. They hate it. Your flesh hates having to do that. But my goodness, at the end of it, man, I wouldn't have wished for anything else on this planet. By the time I'm done, I'm like, yeah, come on, Lord, show me. Woo, I'm excited. I ain't kidding you. I get excited about it. I want to be excited. You know what happened is I became very, I despise some of you new Christians. Why? Because I had lost my joy. I lost my joy in serving the Lord. And I looked at you guys and seen the joy and I didn't like it. And I had to come to my God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I want to rejoice with them. I don't want to be... have a despising heart. You know, Michael, who was David's wife, had got the victory. It would say she despised him in the heart.
Uh-oh.
And I said, God, I'm sorry for despising my brothers and sisters in the heart. I'm sorry for doing that. You know what that took for me to be willing to see? God had to bring me to a place to open my eyes on that, Tim. And as soon as I seen it, I said, thank you, Lord. I'm sorry. Now I get to rejoice with you guys. Though I'm not here, I'm still rejoicing for you guys. I want you to know that I'm still praying and rejoicing for every one of you new ones. And you guys that are struggling with salvation, I still rejoice for you. You know why? Because God's got you sitting in a pew breathing tonight.
Yes.
You could be dead in hell right now. Lost people, let me just say this. You need to go home and praise God because you're lost. Praise God that he has you in a pew lost. Because there's many people in the pew who do not know that and they're going to die and bust hell wide open. But God, in his mercy, has shown you that you're a lost individual and he's taking the time to stir it up and do what he has to do. It's not about you or your time. It's about him and on his time. But either he's telling the truth, it's not his will that any should perish, or he's a liar. Well, how far are you willing to go? How far are we willing to give ourselves for the one who gave all? Matthew 16. I'm going to have to close up here. So Matthew chapter 16. How far are we willing to go? Saved people, unsaved people, struggling people, struggling Christians. How far are we willing to take this thing? Look at Matthew 16 and we'll go to verse 24 here and we'll start there. And it says in it's Matthew 16, 24. And it says, and then Jesus said unto disciples, if, what? That's a powerful word in the King James Bible. I just want you to know it can go for the good or it can go for the bad. Okay? Because what he's about to say here, some people will do it and others will not. More won't do it than will. But it says if any man will come after me. You ready for this, lost person? If any man will come after me, what's it say? That he must deny himself. The only thing that's between a lost person and getting saved is their self.
Uh-oh.
You won't deny yourself. Christian, it says if any man will, that means you have a will. That means you have a choice in the matter. If any man will come after me, let. That means Jesus Christ has just given you the power with that word let. He says, you are now able to leave sin. You're able to leave iniquity. I have just given you the power. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Did I say that right? He says, if any man will come after me, that's your choice. Let him deny himself and take up his cross and go before me. Walk next to me. You're going to walk with Jesus. You'll walk behind him, not next to him and not in front of him, my friend. And let me just tell you this. You'll have a cross to bear.
You'll have a cross to bear when you follow Jesus Christ. There's something in your life that will never go away. He'll leave it there and he expects you to carry it. You know why? As a reminder of what he did for you.
Amen.
And then he says, you get behind me. If, Stephen, do you know what it takes for a Baptist to deny themselves today? You can't even get them to fast for an hour. That's like a curse word in the Baptist church when you say fast. You go, you go around teaching that? So I sure do, because the Holy Ghost uses that to convict people just where they are with God. Fasting. Curse word in the Baptist church. Why? Because nobody wants to deny themselves. How about it? How about that money you're hoarding? How about the money you're making? You willing to give that up for Jesus? You willing to give up that job out there? What if he called you to it, Tim? How about it? What are you willing to give up? What are you willing? You're going to be called to preach, right? That's what you believe? I'm telling you right now, God's coming for you, son. You're going to face things that you never thought in your life that you would ever face. You know why? Because he's going to show you how much of a preacher you really think you are. Oh, I'm not playing. I'm not trying to scare nobody into nothing. I'm telling you the truth. Because God wants to know, Stephen, how far you're really willing to go. How far are you really willing to go, Ronnie? How far? When your family doesn't want to go. When your wife doesn't want to travel with you. How far are you willing to go? I'm just telling you, brother. This whole thing of being in the ministry and being a preacher and it's just a free ride, that's a joke. You can come step in my shoes any day. You can come step in my ministry any day, any point in time that you want to, and you tell me by the time you're done, I'll give you 24 hours in it, and by your time you're done, you tell me how easy that was. You tell me it don't take a willingness and a sacrifice to do what we do. You go ahead and tell me that. How far are you willing to go? You know why? Nick, because the very next person you run into, they may be dangling off the edge of hell, and you might be able to stop them. But God's got to get your heart right first. Am I lying? Am I lying, Stephen? God's got to get your heart right. How far are you willing to let him get your heart right? Zane, how about it, man? You're starting to get a taste of the world. It's only going to get worse. It's only going to get worse out there when you get in the workforce. But how far are you willing to let God take you, Zane? Dustin, it's only going to get worse. You young girls, this world's going to try to eat you up. It's going to try to do everything in its power to get you. I don't care where you go to school. I don't care where you go to college. I don't care where you live. I don't care where you grew up. I'm telling you right now, the devil and the world's after you. You have a bullseye on your back. You don't get it right with God. If you're not willing to give everything, they'll get you. That's a promise. The devil came at Jesus Christ with all of this stuff. Offered him the world, offered him the eyes of the flesh. I mean, offered him everything. You know how Jesus Christ defeated it?
Amen.
How do you think you're going to do it, young people?
Amen.
I know you know everything. I know you teenagers, you know everything. You just know it all.
Let me bring you to some pastor friends of mine. Let me bring you to their children's home. Let me bring you and visit them in prison. Let me bring you and visit their grave sites. Tim, I'm not even worried about people going back to jail or prison because they're not making it. They're going to the grave. They're dying. My people are dying. They're dying. I can't even stop them from going to jail or prison anymore. They're dying. And you think you know? How far are you willing to go? How far? Cherry, how far are you willing to go for that little boy sitting next to you? Because it's going to come. It's going to come. Oh, it's going to come. That little one in your belly, it's coming. How far are you willing to go?
watching you. That one there sitting behind you, Nate. How far you willing to go, Nate? That's the question you need to be asking yourself tonight. You say, why are you repeating this? I'm just telling you, man. God gave me this message for a reason. Some people that need to hear it. How far are you really willing to go? Check your heart. I'm not talking about some light little thing that you make on a night because your emotions might be stirred up or something. You can keep your emotions. I'm not saying that to you. I'm just saying you keep your emotions because, look, this is a reality. This is a reality check. And you young people, I know you know everything. I get that. But when everything starts slapping you in the face, I pray to God that you'll turn to a man of God or a woman of God for you to help. Because I watch many of these Baptist kids turn to the world. It's a disease out there. How many people just this trip alone did we have people come up to us? Missionary families, brother. Missionary families who their children are now out of church. One of them has turned into a sodomite, has done prison time for touching little children. You know where it started? You ready? A deacon and his father got him into pornography. Deacons? I'm just saying, don't think it can't happen in this church. We walk around like we are bulletproof at Black Creek, and I'm telling you, we are not.
No, sir.
Man, you better be willing to put... Hey, the Bible says for you men to stand. To stand! He's giving the men accountability in this church. I watch around, I go around and I watch it, man, I watch it all the time, John Mark, and these boys, these little biological males that try to call themselves men, and they wonder why the church is destroyed, because those men are no longer willing to take a stand. How about it, men? You saved men in this church. I don't care if you're a deacon. I don't care if you're a trustee. I don't care what position you hold in this church. Are you willing to stand? Because I'm telling you, it's coming. It's coming. What's coming next? I don't know, but it's coming.
It is. Yes,
if it wasn't so bad out there, let me ask you one question. Why are so many churches closing down by the hundreds?
Come on.
You know why, Stephen? And hope that God not here. I hope to God that he's got the plan, the perfect plan, to keep this church going for however long he has it going. They've lost their ability to stand. The men, they've cast it out. They say they're King James Bible believers, and let me tell you, it's the farthest thing from the truth. The farthest thing from the truth. Ladies, ladies, how far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go, ladies, to help with the other little children that are in the church, or to teach them, to teach other young girls how to be, you know, cooks and cleaning and teaching them how to, you know, I see this a lot. I'm done, Pastor. I see this a lot. I hear all these young girls and I've watched them grow up. I want to be a mom. I can't wait to be a mom and a wife. And then they start having babies and they hate their husband and their kids.
Oh, yeah. Right.
You know my prayers for my son? God, bring him a godly woman who really wants to be a wife,
right,
and who really wants to be a mother, who loves Jesus Christ and the King James Bible more than she'll ever love him.
Amen.
Yeah.
Because so many people profess things because they want to go ahead and get out of mommy and daddy's house and clean up with some little wimp, dude. I mean, wimp. These guys today, man, they ain't no men wearing their little all tight pants and got their hair all frizzied up and tight sweater. Why are you wearing such tight sweaters? Who are you trying to impress?
Right.
That's right.
Every little girl in that place.
Right.
And pastors are allowing their daughters to marry them fools. Dads, moms, how willing and how far are you willing to go to protect your children from the nonsense that's invaded our churches? You know, I thank God that he allows me to go out on the road. Why? Because he gives me a lot of things that I get to see. And then allows me to bring it home to Black Creek and share it with you folks. So you can know what's going on out there. So you can prepare yourself, prepare your families. Because it's not like this out there. And it's very draining. Look, at, I'm not asking you to have sympathy for me and my family, but I am asking you to, when you remember us, to pray for us.
Yes.
We need your prayers. We need you guys to continually pray for us. Just like any other missionaries on that board, that Pastor Haynes is always harping on, remember the Morris and pray for us, that he gives us strength. And I mean, it's for whatever reason, God has opened up doors for us to get out there. And there's times I would just like to get on the phone and say, Ronnie, Pastor, somebody help. Somebody, would you pray with me? Would you help me? Would you join with me with a hard time? The devil's attacking. The men are attacking. Did you get that? The men are attacking because you stand on the truth.
Right, right.
God, would you help me? You know what I think at night in my head? I'm not even kidding you. I'll start thinking of some of you. I'll see your face, Tim. I'll see your face. And Stephen, I'll see your face. You know why? Because I know you guys are legit praying for me. I know that. But how far, Black Creek people, are we willing to bring this thing? Put it in your heart tonight to willingly offer yourself until Jesus Christ comes back. And then it'll all be over. I'm done.
So just a second before you come up.
Thank you, Dad.
You know, he said a couple of things here that have been on my heart here recently. And the most sacred bond, let's take Autumn Morey, for example. Take that little girl sitting next to her there. All right, Miss Katie, either one of them. The most sacred bond in their life right now is their relationship with their parents. Let's say a young man came and wanted to maybe break that relationship with their parents so that he could have a relationship with them. I can't think of anything more poison. I can't think of anything more poison than that. Okay? Why? Because, well, Ruth Ann and I remember one time us telling a young man, if that young lady will play the whore on her daddy, one day she'll play the whore on you. Okay? 20 years later, that girl came into our house crying. You warned my husband. You warned my husband. Now here we are. That young girl that can't wait to get out of her daddy's house, where's she going to go from your house?
Right. That's right.
Where's she going to go from there? That young lady that can't stand her daddy's instruction, where's she going to go from there? Okay. Most sacred bond that Lily has right now is that man that adopted her. Most sacred bond she has. Okay? It's just a sacred bond. And any man who can't come in and respect that bond is not the right man for her. Not the right man. Most sacred bond, those two Ford girls right there, is that man, Neil Ford. That's the most sacred bond they have. Okay? And you know what? He's as fallible as every other man. And if he's raised his daughters right, they'll see his fallibility.
Right.
If he's raised them with any sense, they'll see all his weaknesses. Okay? And yet, if they despise those and run away from them, where are they going to run when they see through their husband's weaknesses? Okay? Where are they going to run then? Okay? So, it's so important that family bond be what it's supposed to be. So important. That maintain and be right. And that all the work that young people do through the families and the families together. The most sacred bond that Katie has is with that man. It's a sacred bond, okay? If he raises her right, she'll see all his faults, okay? She'll see every one of them. Okay. But if she despises him for those, what's she going to do with her husband?
That's right.
Okay. She's going to despise him because of every one of those faults. Okay. And that's such a grievous thing. Now listen, we're going to come for prayer. Brother Neil's going to come up and he's going to take the prayer requests. And we're going to stay right in here and pray. But before he even comes up, it's a grief to Pastor Hain when he has to call and say that he can't come here for the services. And yet, what's the most important bond in his life right now? Mrs. Hain. Okay? He's teaching us something. We've had many men teach us these things. All right? He's teaching us that. All right? I'm going to ask for something unusual. I'm going to ask for three women. One of them is going to be Shirley Cook. We'll go to Ashley, and we'll go to Jennifer. I'd like each one of you to briefly pray for Mrs. Haynes' health. Would you do that, Mrs. Cook, right now?